أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahhud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifat Masih V, Ayyadullah Ta'ala ibn Salazi stated, Allah the Almighty has granted us the opportunity to experience Ramadan. Today is the last Friday of Ramadan. It is a favor of Allah the Almighty that He enabled many of us to worship and also to observe the fasts. However, along with this, we should also be mindful of the fact that merely by observing the fast during Ramadan and worshipping during Ramadan, our purpose has not been fulfilled. In fact, Allah the Almighty has commanded and guided us that we should permanently become His servants and try to fulfill the rites of worshipping Him. Hence, during these days, those who are able to pay attention towards their prayers, towards congregational prayers and voluntary prayers, and reciting the Holy Quran, and whom Allah the Almighty also enabled to perform these deeds, it is now their responsibility to uphold these virtues. Only if we uphold these virtues will we be able to achieve that objective which Allah the Almighty has set as the purpose of man's creation. Furthermore, in this era, we have pledged allegiance at the hands of the ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and have thus renewed this pledge. As such, we should continue to try our level best to achieve this. Today, and even in the remaining 2 or 3 days of Ramadan, 2 days remain, we should supplicate that Allah the Almighty enables us to continue these virtues as a result of the blessings of this Ramadan, and that we do not forget these virtues which we performed in accordance with the commandment of Allah the Almighty. The reason for this is that the Holy Prophet ﷺ has said that a believer is he who waits for one prayer to the next prayer, from one Jummah to the next Jummah, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. That is, he waits for them so that he can once again perform those acts of worship. And those virtuous deeds during that time, which Allah the Almighty has commanded him to perform. Furthermore, during this time, these acts of worship atone for small mistakes and sins. The Holy Prophet has said that they become the means for atonement. Thus, just as Ramadan is important, every prayer and every Jummah is important. It is not the case that because this is the last Jummah of Ramadan, it is blessed. Every Jummah holds blessings. As I mentioned, in this era, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and we were able to accept him. He gave countless guidance to his community on how we can become true Muslims, how we can become true servants of Allah the Almighty, and how we can become members of the Ummah, i.e. the nation of the Holy Prophet. Thus, we should remain mindful of these matters. On one occasion, imparting guidance to us, the Prophet Sallallahu said, I have said to my community time and again, not to simply rely on having pledged allegiance to me. Until you understand its true significance, you will not find salvation. A person who suffices on the shell remains deprived of the essence. The Prophet Messiah stated, if a disciple does not act upon the teachings, if they are not practicing, then the spiritual influence of their mentor does not benefit them in any way. Merely saying that I have taken the pledge of allegiance with such and such spiritual leader, or I have joined the bayat of the Prophet Messiah and now I have attained great blessings, is not enough. The Prophet Messiah stated that this is not possible. Until we ourselves become those who act upon the teachings, our bayat cannot benefit us in any way. He further explained this with an example. Just as someone visits a doctor, receives a prescription, and then simply keeps it without following it, they will not derive any benefit from it. The benefit will only be gained if one actually follows the prescription given by the doctor or the physician, applies the treatment, and uses the prescribed medicine. The Prophet ﷺ stated, I have written a book titled Noah's Ark. Read this book repeatedly. It contains guidance for you. When you read it again and again, act upon its guidance and strive to shape your lives according to its teachings, which are in line with the commandments of Allah and His Messenger, then that will lead you to the true path to success. That is what will truly benefit you in your bayat. He further said, Allah the Almighty declares that the one who purifies himself is the one who attains true success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Verily he truly prospers who purifies himself. Only when you act upon this will you benefit. Giving an example, he stated, there are thousands of thieves, adulterers, sinners, alcoholics, and criminals who claim to belong to the Ummah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. But are they truly so? Do they actually have the right to be called the followers of the Holy Prophet? Absolutely not. This is not possible. A true member of the Ummah is one who fully adheres to the teachings of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. If someone does not follow these teachings, then they cannot be called a part of his Ummah. To claim otherwise is nothing but a means of dishonoring the Holy Prophet. Therefore, we must always remember that we need to ensure our actions are in accordance to the Islamic teachings, the commandments of Allah as conveyed to us by the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and in this era, the guidance given to us by the promised Messiah ﷺ. In one instance, the promised Messiah ﷺ stated, since you have entered this Jamaat, act upon its teachings. He stated, after joining the Jamaat, one also faces hardships. If there were no hardships, then how could one attain a reward? The Holy Prophet ﷺ endured suffering in Makkah for 13 years, and you cannot even comprehend the difficulties of that time. Therefore, always remember that trials and tribulations do come. But even when these hardships befell both the Holy Prophet and the companions in Makkah, the Holy Prophet still taught patience. And what was the result? In the end, the enemy was completely destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ says, you will see that these mischievous people, those who oppose you, will eventually vanish and cease to exist. The same circumstances exist today as well. Allah the Almighty has decreed that He will spread this Jamaat across the world. These people trouble you because they see you as few in number. But when the Jamaat grows significantly, they will fall silent on their own. This has always been the principle of the world, and this is the history we have seen with the communities of the prophets. He further said, if Allah had willed, these people would not have caused you distress, and no such persecutors would have existed. However, Allah the Almighty intends to teach you patience through them. Allah the Almighty is the master of all power. He has the ability to stop these oppressors. However, He also wishes to test us, to see how much patience we possess, and to what extent we establish our relationship with Him. Is our worship to Allah the Almighty merely during the month of Ramadan? Do we truly wish to make this worship a permanent part of our lives? And are we making efforts to do so? If we fail to do this, then there is no use. If we do this, and we also remain patiently content with the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and keep praying, then Allah the Almighty will grant us deliverance from the enemy. Then you will witness how Allah the Almighty will protect you from these afflictions. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, patience itself is an act of worship. God Almighty states that those who remain patient shall be granted rewards beyond measure, meaning they shall receive blessings without limit. This reward is exclusively for those who are patient. There is no such promise from Allah the Almighty for any other act of worship. When a person spends his life within a community, then when he endures much suffering, the protector's honor will be impassioned, and he will destroy the one who causes them harm. Meaning, when we exhibit patience, prostrate ourselves before Allah the Almighty and pray to Him, then Allah the Almighty's honor will be stirred. At times, people become impatient. It is true that there are great afflictions in certain places, especially in Pakistan. However, Allah the Almighty expects of us, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed us, that we remain patient. It is not sufficient to simply supplicate during Ramadan. Rather, we must make these prayers and righteous deeds a permanent part of our lives. Only then will we reap the true benefit. The Promised Messiah has clearly declared, our community is under the protection of Allah the Almighty, and enduring hardships only strengthens faith. There is nothing akin to patience. Thus, if we keep these things in mind, then God willing, we will continue to progress, and the enemy will never be able to hinder our efforts or frustrate our plans. However, the condition remains that our own deeds must be righteous and that we carry out every action solely for the pleasure of God Almighty. On one occasion, the Promised Messiah stated, do not remain engrossed in the world. Rather, turn towards Allah the Almighty. And when you turn towards Allah the Almighty, then witness how He creates ease for you. And while giving advice regarding righteousness, the Promised Messiah states, history tells us that true Muslims in the early days always have to endure hardships. Even the companions faced such circumstances that they had to survive by eating leaves. At times, even a morsel of food was not available. He further says, no one can do good for another until God wills good for them. If Allah the Almighty desires good for someone, only then will they receive goodness from others. When a person adopts righteousness, then God Almighty Himself opens doors for them. It is merely your supposition that others will bestow goodness upon you. But if Allah the Almighty has not yet decreed good for you, then you may exert innumerable efforts. They will not be able to bestow any goodness to you. To tread the path of righteousness, one must bow before Allah the Almighty. And when we attain His pleasure and begin to tread the path of righteousness, then Allah the Almighty will open the doors of His grace, God willing. Thus the Prophet ﷺ instructed, have true faith in Allah the Almighty. Everything will be attained through Him. Because Allah the Almighty states, من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. Whoever adopts righteousness and fears Allah, He will create a way out for them and provide for them from where they could never have imagined. He will grant them ease and blessings from sources they never anticipated. Therefore, we must always keep this in mind. If we truly wish to make our lives successful and benefit from the blessings of this Ramadan, or indeed any Ramadan, in relation to fulfilling the rights of one another, the Promised Messiah states, sit together in harmony. The more love and affection you show towards one another, the greater will be the love of Allah the Almighty for you. It is not just the physical acts of worship, but in the days of Ramadan, many people's attention is drawn towards demonstrating high moral conduct. Many people's attention has been drawn towards this, and they even share this with others. It is, however, essential that we continue to uphold these high morals. We must resolve to avoid petty disagreements, trivial disputes, and small conflicts that arise among us, and instead lead a life filled with love and affection. When we do so, then the blessings of Allah the Almighty shall shower upon us. Then, on another occasion, whilst guiding the Jamaat, the Promised Messiah states, it is imperative for our Jamaat, especially in this turbulent age, where the winds of misguidance, negligence, and deception are sweeping from every direction, to adopt righteousness. If one observes, what medium is not being used today to lead people towards misguidance? Every form of media, every effort is working towards this very end. Worldly people have started using every means to lead others towards misguidance, ignorance, and to lead them away from Allah the Almighty. In such a time, our responsibility as those who claim to have believed in the Promised Messiah, who came in this age for the rejuvenation of faith and the revival of Islam, is to strive to avoid such evils. We must assess ourselves. How many of us truly refrain from these? Everyone ought to make this assessment, including the youth, elderly, men, women, and children alike. The Promised Messiah continues, the current state of the world is such that they have no regard for the greatness of Allah the Almighty's commandments. They have disregard for the rights due to Him and His commandments. They have no regard for Allah the Almighty's admonitions. People have become excessively engrossed in worldly matters. If we assess our own conditions, we too find that instances where people have become overly immersed in worldly affairs. Sometimes people forget to offer their prayers. Some neglect the Friday prayers. And some disregard other good deeds. At times, in pursuit of their own rights, they even try to usurp the rights of others. Such actions do not bring one closer to Allah the Almighty. Therefore, while we are engaged in prayers during Ramadan, asking Allah to grant us the opportunity to do good deeds and to fulfill our needs, we must also put into practice the guidance Allah the Almighty has provided to us. We must make an effort as well. Relying solely on prayer will not suffice. The Promised Messiah mentioned that those engrossed in worldly affairs, when faced with worldly loss, raise a hue and they begin to cry out loud. And just as I mentioned earlier, in order to save themselves from incurring any worldly loss, they disregard the rights due to Allah the Almighty. They have no regard for the rights due to Allah the Almighty, so long as they don't incur any worldly loss. They fail to pay attention to the guidance of Allah the Almighty and neglect the rights of others. Some even get involved in lawsuits and wrongfully file lawsuits. And then in order to disgrace the other party, they present false arguments and evidences upon the advice of their lawyers. The lawyers try and persuade them to present false arguments and testimonies. In such circumstances, how can we expect Allah the Almighty's help? If one wants Allah the Almighty's support, it is essential to focus on virtue and strive to adhere to the commandments of Allah the Almighty. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further states, whilst they are in a state of weakness, they do not have the courage to commit sin. They do not commit sin whilst they are weak and are drawn towards Allah the Almighty. But as they get an opportunity, they immediately begin to commit falsehood and sin. Once they are granted ease and prosperity, they forget that it is Allah the Almighty who has granted them this ease and prosperity, and they forget about their earlier state. True gratitude to Allah the Almighty is to maintain those good deeds and never attempt to usurp the rights of Allah or His servants, i.e. those deeds which one carried out in their state of weakness. If someone is violating the rights of others, it is because they lack true taqwa. The Prophet ﷺ states, when true taqwa exists, a person cannot engage in such actions. He further states, there is a great deal mentioned in the ahadith and contain blessings, but people lack faith in their hearts and do not adhere to it practically. There are some people who speak with reference to the Quran and the hadith, but they lack the practical condition and faith in order to adhere to it. The Prophet Muhammad states, God Almighty has sent me to instill these virtues once again. When God saw that this field was barren, His Divine Majesty could not allow this field to remain barren and for people to remain distant. Hence, He desires to create a new living community, and this is why we preach the message of adopting the life of taqwa. Thus, as we have entered the bayat of the Promised Messiah Islam and become part of a new community, we must strive to lead our lives filled with taqwa. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, taqwa is not something that can be obtained merely by words. In fact, Satan misleads those who strive to practice taqwa. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gave an example of this, comparing it to how a small amount of sweetness attracts countless ants. If there is sugar or sweets placed somewhere, ants will swarm to it. This is the same case of the sins caused by satanic influence, and it reflects the level of weakness in man. A person may think that they have become very righteous and are adhering to taqwa, but when Satan attacks, it becomes clear that they are not yet fully safeguarded from the attacks of Satan and are not completely under the protection of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ states, had Allah willed, He would not have left humans in such a state of weakness. As I mentioned earlier, that the moment someone performs a good deed, they may think that they adhere to taqwa. But this is not true taqwa. This is a taqwa that is vulnerable to Satan's attacks. Just as ants are drawn to sweetness, Satan also attacks to provoke feelings of self-righteousness, convincing a person that they have become virtuous. When this happens, they drift away from their good deeds, and arrogance starts to take root. The Prophet ﷺ states, thus, those who walk the path of taqwa must tread carefully and cautiously. This is only possible when a person recognizes that the source of all strength is Allah alone. No prophet or messenger has the power to bestow this strength from their own accord. Indeed, one attains blessings through prophets and messengers. One attains blessings by following their teachings. But all power belongs to Allah the Almighty alone. Prophets and messengers also guide one to seek from Allah the Almighty. Then when one gains this strength from God Almighty, one is able to bring about a change within themselves. In order to attain this, it is necessary to supplicate, and it is prayer that can remove all satanic weaknesses. This in itself is termed a supplication. Satan wishes for man to remain weak in his prayers because he knows that all the reformation possible will take place through this. But the condition for this is to become pure and chaste. So long as man has impurities inside him, Satan will continue to love him. Therefore, observing prayer is a prerequisite in order to becoming purified. During this month of Ramadan, we derived benefit by offering prayers regularly, by being more mindful of it, and offering voluntary prayers. The Prophet ﷺ stated, "If you wish to remain protected from Satan indefinitely and remain steadfast upon righteousness, then the condition for this is to focus on worship. And worship, which is performed with full obligations, in accordance with the commandments of Allah the Almighty, and devoid of any form of ostentation or display. When worship is offered in this manner, a person will always remain protected from Satan's assaults and will remain under the shelter of Allah the Almighty's mercy." Furthermore, with regards to righteousness, the Prophet ﷺ stated, "In order to become righteous, it is essential for a person to not only abstain from grave matters such as adultery, theft, usurping the rights of others, hypocrisy, arrogance, contempt, and miserliness, and abandon all immoral conduct, but to excel adopting moral excellences. True righteousness requires that one not only shuns major evil and refrain from ill morals, as this is not sufficient. Rather, true righteousness is when one takes steps towards virtues. The real objective is to eradicate evil conduct and replace it with virtues. If one eschews all evil morals and adopt virtues, then this is the real essence. Thus, righteousness is not to merely avoid sin. Rather, it is about refraining from evil and actively pursuing good deeds." Then, what are the other virtues that one should adopt? They include treating others with kindness, displaying good manners, showing compassion, demonstrating sincere loyalty and truthfulness towards God Almighty, and seeking opportunities to reach the elevated station. A person should strive to engage in deeds that please Allah the Almighty and are worthy of praise. It is through such efforts that one becomes a righteous person. The Prophet ﷺ has stated, "When these qualities are adopted by an individual, they are counted among the righteous." The Prophet ﷺ further said that when people reach this state, Allah the Almighty becomes their guardian. As Allah the Almighty Himself declares, "La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun." No fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. In another place, He states, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, meaning, and He protects the righteous. It is narrated in a hadith that Allah the Almighty becomes the hands with which such people grasp, the eyes with which they see, the ears with which they hear, and the feet with which they walk. In another hadith it is mentioned, "Whosoever bears enmity towards my friend, they should prepare for war against me." In another place it is mentioned, "When someone attacks a friend of God, Allah the Almighty pounces upon that person with the ferocity of a lioness whose cub has been snatched away from her." This is how one attains the mercy of Allah the Almighty. When a person takes a step towards God, he in turn advances towards them. The mercy of Allah the Almighty is not bestowed upon everyone. Thus, those whoever is the recipient of His mercy become a manifest sign of it. The greatest signs were shown in support of the Holy Prophet, and despite the relentless efforts of his enemies to bring about his ruin, not a single one of their schemes succeeded, to the extent that they plotted to assassinate him. Yet all such attempts were ultimately foiled. the promised Messiah, Islam, states, one should continuously nurture the love and reverence of Allah the Almighty within their hearts. And there is no greater means of achieving this than prayer. The essence of true devotion lies in presenting one's virtues before Allah the Almighty and fulfilling the due rites of His worship. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that there is no greater means than prayer. Thus, we have passed through the month of Ramadan, we have experienced our prayers and improved on our virtues. It is now essential to continue these practices, and in order to draw the mercy of Allah the Almighty, these virtuous habits must become a permanent part of our lives. Without this, there is no survival. The Prophet Sallallahu stated, while the fasting month comes once a year, and zakat is obligatory only upon those who possess wealth, not everyone pays zakat. This too is a virtue, but prayer is a fundamental obligation for everyone, five times a day. Whether one is rich or poor, young or old, they must offer the prayers. Never neglect your prayers. Offer them repeatedly and do so with full attention, keeping in view that you are standing before the one who holds immense power, that if he wills, he can accept your supplication in an instant. One should have such firm faith that one thinks that they stand in the presence of God. He is all-powerful, such that if he wills, he can grant acceptance to your prayers at any moment. The Prophet Sallallahu states, worldly rulers are dependent on their treasuries and constantly worry about them finishing and sending them into destitution. They remain worried about how they will be replenished. At the same time, they remain anxious that if they spend freely, they may soon run out. This is precisely the state of the Western world today, who once considered themselves to be wealthy and believed that they had ample riches, which would never diminish, and are now confronted with severe economic challenges. Their economies are crumbling, inflation is rising, the value of the rupee is falling, the value of the pound is decreasing, and the dollar is also decreasing in value. There is a state of complete chaos and uncertainty, which is why they have imposed numerous restrictions. In contrast, the treasury of Allah the Almighty remains ever full. When a person stands before Him, all that is required is unwavering certainty. One must firmly believe that Allah is omnipotent and His treasures are eternally abundant. They will never deplete. When one develops this certainty, then he ought to seek from Him. Then Allah the Almighty has the power to accept prayers and grant them right away. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, one should have certainty. They are standing before an all-hearing, all-knowing, and all-aware, and all-powerful being. Out of His favor and kindness, may He grant it right away. One should pray with great fervor and not lose hope or despair. In this way, one will soon experience contentment and will attain the ever-increasing favors of God. If one develops this state, they will attain these blessings of Allah the Almighty, and they will find God Himself. This is the method which we must adopt. However, the prayers of the unjust and transgressors are not accepted because they are negligent of God Almighty. If a son does not care for his father and is undutiful, then the father does not care of him. Why then should God? Hence the Prophet Sallallahu states, our community should establish a true bond with God Almighty and strive to develop the strength of their faith to the degree of certainty. This is the very purpose for which I have come. He said, if this purpose is not being fulfilled, then there is no use of pledging allegiance to me. Thus, we must strive to continue increasing our virtues and establish a special connection with Allah the Almighty. This is the very purpose of our lives, and this is what will help us in realizing the success of this community. This will save us from difficulties and tribulations, and through this, God willing, the community will continue thriving until it reaches the stage which has been promised by Allah the Almighty. The Prophet Sallallahu states, the foremost among the objectives of the promised Messiah are the signs which Allah the Almighty is exhibiting as a continuation of the signs shown at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. God has outlined the signs of success and also continues to manifest them. The Prophet ﷺ continues, "This is so Allah the Almighty may prove that He listens to our prayers and answers them as well. He shows us these signs to exhibit that His help is with us." Then he says, "The second purpose for my coming is to establish a connection between man and God." He says, "One of the aspects is for Allah the Almighty, as He promised to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which He is fulfilling. The second aspect has been entrusted to us by Allah the Almighty to become His grateful servants, to do justice in worshipping Him, and to progress in our faith. When this happens, then we will reap the blessings of Allah the Almighty, and we will be among those who do justice to the very purpose for which we have pledged allegiance to the promised Messiah, Islam." He further states, "It is necessary for our community to increase its faith, to develop true certainty and understanding of Allah the Almighty, to avoid laziness and slackness in doing virtuous deeds. If there is laziness, then even performing ablution seems like a nuisance, let alone offering tahajjud. If the ability of carrying out virtuous deeds is not developed, and there is no passion for vying in good works, then there is no use in associating with us. If we are not bringing about a change within ourselves, if we do not have a passion for doing virtuous deeds, there is no passion for developing the worship of Allah the Almighty or exhibiting lofty morals, then there is no use in pledging allegiance to the Promised Messiah, Islam." He states, "Only those enter our community who consider our teachings to be their code of conduct and strive to act upon them according to their capacities and capabilities. However, those who only pledge allegiance in name and do not act according to the teachings should remember that God Almighty has determined to make this community special, and no one can remain within this community simply by having their name written down. There will eventually come the unfortunate time for such a person when he can become distant, and certainly will. Therefore, as far as it is possible, mold your actions according to this teaching which is given." He says, "Deeds are like wings. Without action, a person cannot soar to the heights of spirituality. As birds fly in the sky with their wings, deeds are also necessary in order to elevate in spiritual rank. It is through deeds that one can soar upwards and draw nearer to Allah the Almighty. One cannot soar to spiritual heights and cannot achieve those lofty purposes which Allah the Almighty has placed beneath them." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, "Birds possess understanding and knowledge. If they do not use the knowledge and understanding which Allah the Almighty has placed in their natural disposition, then they will not be able to carry out that which they do. For example, if a honeybee does not possess understanding, it will not be able to draw the nectar. Similarly, messenger pigeons, pigeons carrying messages which used to be widely used, have to use their understanding to some degree. They travel very long distances in order to deliver letters. Similarly, birds are made to do wonderful things. Hence, is it necessary for a person to first use their understanding and think as to whether what they are about to do is in accordance with the commandments of Allah the Almighty and whether it is for the sake of His pleasure. When one is mindful of this and uses their understanding, then it is necessary for one to undertake action. First, one should think and use their understanding that these are virtuous deeds which they must do, and they will have virtuous results. These are things which are according to Allah the Almighty's commandments, and these are not. Then one should act accordingly. One should not be lazy or neglectful. It is necessary to ensure that the teachings are correct. Sometimes, though, the teachings can be correct, but man in his foolishness and ignorance, or due to someone else's mischief and lies, is deceived. It can also be at times that Satan deceives a person. It is necessary to understand that sometimes a person can be deceived in regards to this teaching. Hence, it is vital for an Ahmadi that in order to carry out his deeds, one must strive to attain the nearness of Allah the Almighty, and he should clear his mind and think. He should first analyze, ponder over it, pray, and then undertake an action. And the sole purpose should be to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. When we act according to these things, then we will become those who fulfill the purpose of pledging allegiance to the Promised Messiah. Then on one occasion, whilst imparting advice about increasing the standards of one's worship, the Promised Messiah states, take part of Allah the Almighty's love in full, for in reality, this will establish the unity of God. To this end, where you proclaim that you love Allah the Almighty and that you wish to establish the unity of God, then it is necessary to prove this. This is why falling before Allah the Almighty weeping is necessary. When these things happen, then we will be true adherents to the unity of God and those who act upon it and those who spread it. Then elaborating on what it means to love Allah the Almighty, the Prophet ﷺ states, it is to give precedence to the pleasure of Allah the Exalted over one's parents, wife, children, and even one's own self, in short, over everything. Hence, the Holy Quran states, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا, meaning, remember Allah the Exalted as you remember your fathers, rather remember Him with even greater and deeper love. He further states, now there is a point here that requires contemplation. In the aforementioned instance, God Almighty did not teach that one should refer to Him as the Father. He has taught that one should not refer to Him as the Father, lest one is deceived like the Christians. Now, if someone raises the objection that the aforementioned teaching places the love of God below our love for our fathers, God Almighty has cleared this objection by using the words, Ashadda Dhikra. If these words had not been used, this objection would hold weight. But the aforementioned phrase has resolved this potential criticism. That is, Allah the Almighty instructs to remember Him even more than your father. The Promised Messiah further states, for the establishment of true divine unity, it is necessary for one to fully partake of love for God Almighty. This love cannot be established until one is complete in the practical aspect. Mere verbal declarations prove nothing. If a person continuously repeats the word sweet, this would never replace the actual taste of sweetness. One cannot taste sweetness simply by taking the name of sweets. Similarly, if a person who verbally declares and proclaims their friendship for someone turns away from lending their help and support when the time calls for it, they would not be considered a true friend. In the same way, if the unity of God is professed only in words and love is expressed in the verbal sense alone, this is of no benefit whatsoever. In fact, this aspect of the teaching requires practical expression more so than verbal profession. This does not mean that verbal affirmation holds no value. My purpose is to highlight that verbal declarations must be affirmed with practical expression. Therefore, it is necessary for one to devote one's life to God. This is Islam. This is the purpose for which I have been sent. The one who does not approach this spring at the present time, which God Almighty has caused to flow forth for this purpose, is without question left deprived. The Prophet Messiah said that in order to establish the unity of Allah the Almighty, you must shape your lives accordingly. This does not necessarily mean that you must formally dedicate your life to the community. Rather, it implies dedicating your lives to practicing the teachings and propagating Allah the Almighty's message, molding yourselves in such a manner that it becomes evident that your lives are entirely for the sake of Allah the Almighty. It is only by shaping your lives in this way that you can truly succeed. The Prophet ﷺ urged us to understand this as the purpose of our lives, not merely to earn worldly gains. But having pledged allegiance to the Promised Messiah, you must strive with all your ability to establish and spread the unity of Allah across the globe. With this mindset, each member of the community will actively play their part, striving to raise the banner of Allah's unity and bring humanity under the banner of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, during this Ramadan, we have pledged to focus on worship exemplary morals, performing righteous deeds, and spreading the unity of Allah the Almighty. However, these efforts must not end with the conclusion of Ramadan. They must continue throughout the year. Only by maintaining this continuity can we achieve the true objective of our lives. Otherwise, the purpose behind pledging allegiance to the Promised Messiah Islam, as commanded by Allah the Almighty and the Holy Prophet ﷺ, will not be fulfilled. We will not be able to achieve this objective and will fail to reap the blessings promised through this pledge of allegiance. Therefore, we must always remember that by pledging allegiance, we committed ourselves to bringing about a distinct transformation within ourselves. The prayers and virtues attained during this Ramadan must become a lifelong part of our lives. The Promised Messiah al-Islam stated, "If you continue living like worldly people, it will be of no benefit. You have repented at my hand, and repentance at my hand demands a death, so that you may be given a new life. If your pledge of allegiance does not come from the heart, it will yield no result. In pledging allegiance to me, God desires the testimony of your hearts. Thus, whosoever accepts me with a true heart and repents sincerely from their sins, the forgiving and merciful God will certainly forgive their sins, making them as pure as a newborn baby. It is at this point that the angels will then protect them." The Prophet ﷺ further illustrated that if even one righteous individual exists in a village, Allah the Almighty, out of respect for that person's piety, spares the village from destruction. However, when destruction arrives, it encompasses everyone, though even then Allah finds a way to protect His servants. It is Allah's established practice that even one righteous person becomes a means of salvation for others. In light of the current circumstances of the world, whilst we strive to safeguard ourselves, our future progenies, the rest of humanity, and whilst we strive to establish the unity of God in the world and bring the world under the flag of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, we should also bring about a permanent change within ourselves and make the habit of offering continuous supplications a part of our lives so that we are able to safeguard ourselves and the world in general. The world is hurtling towards destruction. And if Allah wills, He can establish such means to reform the world by bringing about a transformation in their hearts, and so they become safeguarded from destruction. And if the destruction is going to take place, then may Allah the Almighty protect the believers and faithful people. In order to be safeguarded from this, it is essential that we should carry out our deeds in such a manner that we continuously receive Allah the Almighty's grace. May God grant us the ability to understand how we are to keep our worship alive, how we are to establish a bond with Allah the Almighty, how we are to follow the path of righteousness, how we are to demonstrate high morals, how we are to establish the oneness of God in the world, and how we are to safeguard the world and ourselves from destruction. When we fulfill all of these aspects and instill this understanding, only then can we truly do justice to our pledge of allegiance to the Promised Messiah al-Islam. May God enable us to fulfill the due rites of our pledge. May this Ramadan be a source of blessings for us and grant us mercy, grace, and blessings. May the remaining days of Ramadan and the coming year until the next Ramadan be one where we fulfill the due rites of our worship of Allah the Almighty and also fulfill the rights of His creation. May Allah the Almighty grant us the ability to do so.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.